2. Oshka crouched on the palace patio, tucked into the shadow where the balcony met the wall, her hood up to hide her crimson hair. Inside this strange river castle, they appeared to be having some kind of celebration. Lights danced across the stones, and music seeped through the doors. The cold air bit at Oshka's skin, but she didn't mind. She was used to cold, real cold, and the winter in this London was gentle by comparison. Beyond the frosted glass, men and women ate and drank, laughed and spun around an ornate dance floor. None of them had markings. None of them had scars. All across the hall, magic was being used in petty ways, to light braziers and sculpt ice statues, to enchant instruments and entertain guests. Oshka hissed, disgusted by the waste of power. A fresh language rune burned against her wrist, but she didn't need to speak this tongue to know how much they took for granted. Squandering life while her people starved in a barren world. Before Holland, she reminded herself. Things were changing now. The world was mending, flourishing, but would it ever look like this? Months ago it would have been impossible to imagine. Now it was simply difficult. Hers was a world being slowly roused by magic. This was a world long graced. Could a polished rock ever truly resemble a jewel? She had the sudden pressing urge to set fire to something.
Oshka,
came a gentle chiding voice in her head, soft and teasing as a lover's whisper. She brought her fingers to her eye, the knot in the tether between her and her king. Her king, who could feel her thoughts, feel her desires. Could he feel them all? As if they were one.
I would not do it, Your Highness, she thought. Not unless it pleased you. Then I would do anything.
She felt the line between them slacken as the king drifted back into his own mind. Oshka turned her attention back to the ball. And then she saw him. Tall and thin, dressed in black, circling the floor with a pretty girl done up in green. Beneath a circlet of silver and wood, the girl's hair was fair, but Kel's was red. Not as red as Oshka's, no, but the copper still caught the light. One of his eyes was pale, the other as black as hers, as Holland's. But he was nothing like her king. Her king was beautiful and powerful and perfect. This Kel was nothing but a skinny boy. And yet she knew him at first sight. Not only because Holland knew him, but because he shone to her like a flame in the dark. Magic radiated like heat off the edges of his form, and when his dark eye drifted lazily across the bank of windows, past shadow and snow and Oshka, she felt the gaze. It rippled through her, and she braced herself, sure he would see her, feel her, but he didn't even notice. She wondered if the glass was mirrored instead of clear, so that everyone inside saw only themselves. Smiles reflecting back again and again while outside, the darkness waited, held at bay. Oshka adjusted her balance on the balcony's rail. She'd made it this far by a series of ice steps forged on the palace wall, but the building itself must have been warded against intrusion. The one and only time she'd tried to slip inside through a pair of upstairs doors, she'd been rebuffed. Not loudly or painfully, but forcefully. The spell work was fresh, the magic strong. The only way in appeared to be the front doors, but Holland had warned her not to make a scene. She pulled on the tether in her mind and felt him take hold of the rope.
I have found him.
She didn't bother explaining. She simply looked. She was the king's eyes. What she saw, so would he.
Shall I force him out?
No,
came the king's voice in her head. It hummed so beautifully in her bones.
Kell is stronger than he looks. If you try to force him and fail, he will not come. He must come. Be patient. Oshka sighed. Very well. But her mind was not at ease, and her king could tell. A soothing calm passed through her with his words, his will.
You are not only my eyes, he said. You are my hands, my mouth, my will. I trust you to behave as I say I would.
I will, she answered, and I will not fail.